In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you once again about chastity and virginity. Two very strange and peculiar words nowadays, aren't they? Words that almost never are heard on TV or read about in the newspaper. Words that probably many people would have a hard time even defining. We have been talking about chastity, which refers to sexual purity in either a married person, that is, a person who maintains purity in not going outside of marriage for sexual activity, and purity also in the single, for whom there is no sexual activity at all, according to God's word. But of course, chastity goes a great deal deeper than that. You remember Jesus' words that if one even looks on another person with the idea of committing adultery, that they have then committed adultery in their hearts. Is there any of us that could claim to be absolutely pure, judged by that standard? I recognize my own guilt. I realize that all of us are sinners, that none of us can claim to be any better than anybody else, and if we were hoping to get to heaven because we're so good, well, I wouldn't make it. I don't think, according to the Bible, that any of us would make it. It's not good people that go to heaven, is it? It's people who know that they need cleansing, and the cleansing and purifying that can come only through forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us pure. I love the old hymn that says, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." So I don't speak to you today as a woman who claims purity in any way, shape, or form. I come to you merely as a sinner saved by grace, one who is seeking to live a holy life and wanting with all my heart to point the rest of you who are hungry for that kind of a life back to the Scriptures and to Him who alone can give us holiness. I've said that God can never restore your virginity, but I do want to say, for the encouragement of those who have squandered their virginity on the wrong person, that God can give you back your chastity. His blood cleanses from all sin. I want to speak a little bit more about chastity in marriage. In Hebrews 13:4, we read, "Marriage is honorable. Let us all keep it so, and the marriage bond inviolate. For God's judgment will fall on fornicators and adulterers." Fornicators are those who sin sexually in any way, shape, or form, and I think we all know what adulterers are. But God's word says that marriage is honorable, and we are to keep the marriage bond inviolate, unbroken. Now, what is a chaste marriage? That word chaste, of course, is spelled C-H-A-S-T-E. A chaste marriage, a pure marriage, means most fundamentally that there's no extramarital sexual activity, of course. But it means a great deal more than that. It also means that the man honors his wife, as the Scripture says, because she is the weaker vessel. Does that raise the hackles on some of you women's backs, that we are called the weaker vessel? Well, God's word makes it very plain that a woman is not weaker necessarily than a man in every way, but there are certain very obvious physical ways in which we are weaker, And God made the woman to meet certain kinds of needs that he recognized in the man, and he made the man to protect her and to provide for her, to be the husband, to husband her, to care for, and to cherish. And so the woman receives special honor because she is the weaker vessel. The scripture tells us also that a man is to treat his wife as his own body. Any man treats his own body fairly well. Most of us abuse our bodies in some way and fail to treat them as carefully and as responsibly as we should. But generally speaking, we do give ourselves a pretty good break, don't we? But a man is to honor his wife, respect his wife, and give them the love that they naturally have for their own bodies. I'm reading from the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Men ought to give their wives the love they naturally have for their own bodies. The love a man gives his wife is the extending of his love for himself to enfold her. All of us are basically lovers of self. God is not asking anything impossible that a man should extend his self-love to enfold his wife. He does ask some other things which are impossible, except with his help, in this same chapter. For example, it says that the husband must give his wife the same sort of love that Christ gave to the church. Well, what kind of love was that? Paul goes right on to say, when he sacrificed himself for her. Christ gave himself to make her holy, having cleansed her through the baptism of his word, to make her an altogether glorious church in his eyes. And church is capitalized in this passage. It refers, of course, to the body of believers throughout all the world, including those who are in heaven as well. The bride of Christ is the church. And if Christ sacrificed himself for the church, so the Christian husband is to lay down his life, to sacrifice himself for his wife. Does that sound like bossism or tyranny or cruelty? The price that a husband must pay to love his wife as Christ loved the church is a very high one indeed. This business of chastity includes giving oneself to make the other holy. It's the job of the husband to give himself as Christ did, to make his bride holy. Now, how can you do that? How can a man possibly make his wife holy? Well, first of all, by loving her, and his love will prompt him to pray for her, and his prayers will prompt him to lay his life down for her, and in his laying his life down for her, he becomes the very channel of the love of God to her. Is that a high standard? Is that an impossible standard? Yes, of course it is. No man can do it, not without the help of God. But God is ready to help us. The husband is to treat his wife as his own body. He is to respect her as a woman made in God's image. And let us wives remember that we are to treat our husbands as men made in the image of God. People who one day, when we are all perfected, we will actually be tempted to worship. Can you imagine that that man that you live with and whose shirts you iron and whose peculiarities you put up with, you may someday be tempted to worship? I hope you love your husband enough that you find that not impossible to believe. And yet there are times, aren't there, when it is impossible to believe, and yet it's true. We will be perfected. We will be made like Jesus himself. And we will love each other as he has loved us. A husband's chastity and purity will involve his thinking God's thoughts about his wife, taking account of her needs and desires. And the woman does the same. The primary command to us women is respect your husbands, submit to them. And this submission is simply an acknowledgement of a God-appointed authority that a husband holds. Is there anyone listening to me out there who has failed in these things? Well, I feel pretty sure that there isn't anyone listening to me who has not failed. And yet, what can we do about that? I want to read to you some encouraging words from Colossians, the second chapter. He has forgiven you all your sins. That is, if you have confessed them, of course. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments, which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated, in his final, glorious, triumphant act. Are you in an agony over your own past, your own failures in chastity, your squandering of your virginity? Well, just be blunt with God. Lay it all out before him. Acknowledge it to him. Confess that you know it was wrong. Ask for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and determine that you are going to follow him in chastity and purity from now on. In Romans, the 6th chapter, we read, "Thank God, you who were at one time the servants of sin, honestly responded to the impact of Christ's teaching when you came under its influence. Then, released from the service of sin, you entered the service of righteousness." Does that describe what you want to do? May God help you to do that.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.